move into what last week we shared a little bit about our destiny. Anybody remember that? And we started off with, and we're not going to do it today, but we had that little clip from Back to the Future when George McFly went to that soda fountain. Oh, I love that. I like that movie only because it just, I didn't live in the 50s. I was born in the 50s, but I just love the 50s. I just love, you know, the things. But anyway, so he goes to the soda fountain, and he's building up his nerve, right, to go talk to Lorraine and to tell him that he's her density. Her density. And he's got to get that up there by getting a milk, making a chocolate, a little strong. Then he goes over there and he does that whole thing, and we remember that. And that was a thing that he was sharing. He says, I, to Lorraine, I am your destiny. And that sprung borders, or we sprung off of that into God. God has a destiny for you. He has a destiny for us. Amen? And we're going to get there. I want to fulfill my destiny. How about you? And so we visited in Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, and we shared what that workmanship was, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand. We read it out of the Amplified, and we went to Genesis a little bit to get back to the definition of, you know, create and all, and how God create, and when he created everything, he created it from nothing. Remember, it was like when he created it, it wasn't like he just found some stuff laying around going through space or whatever and he decided to bring it all together. There was like nothing. That's power, man. To have nothing here and I could speak something into existence. That's our God. Amen. Hallelujah. So we shared a little bit about Genesis and the definition of created. Then we went to about being good because we shared about Christ for good works, and we went to Philippians 1:6 in that area. And then I read some footnotes in regards to Ephesians 2:10 and the meaning of 2:10. God called us his workmanship in Ephesians 2:10. And this is a footnote. God calls us his workmanship or his artwork. And from the Greek word poiema, P-O-I-E-M-A, we are something created with the skill and purpose by God for his purpose. Specifically, we are created in Christ Jesus for good works. Good works do not give us salvation, but they are absolutely meant to be the result of our salvation. Remember, it also, it talked about, and I went into the Passion Translation of Ephesians 2:10, and it said that we, the Passion 2:10 says that we have become his poetry. And the Greek word used here is translated poem or poetry. Our lives are the beautiful poetry written by God that will speak forth all that he desires in life. A recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each of us, for we are joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works. And our destiny, although implied, these good works make up our destiny. As we yield to God, our prearranged destiny comes to pass, and we are rewarded for simply doing what he wants us to accomplish. Isn't that amazing? Just do what you're created to, and your reward is there. Amen. What we accomplish, and we would do it to we would do to fulfill it. It says, as we yield to God, our prearranged destiny comes to pass, and we are rewarded for simply doing what he wants us to accomplish. We would do it to fulfill it. We want to fulfill what God has for us to do. I hope you want to do that, don't you? See, God has placed us here for a purpose, for a good purpose, not bad. Not to be a draw or a drain or a hindrance. Many people think of that. Many people wonder why they're here. You hear that through people, you know, looking at themselves like, I feel like I'm just worthless. Anybody heard people talk to themselves and claim themselves to be worthless? I'm useless. I'm nothing. And those are the people that really the enemy, the devil, has really got them to the point where they feel and they believe that. But we, on the other hand, as a child of God, as salvation has come and we get that enlightenment from him, we begin to understand, no, we are not worthless. We are worth a lot. Well, we're so much worth a lot that Jesus died for us, gave his life for us. You're pretty valuable for somebody to give their life to, right? We found that Webster defined destiny as a predetermined course of events often held to be irresistible power or agency. To be an irresistible power or agency. Predetermined course of events. The irresistible power, power of God. God's created us. He knew us before we were formed in the womb and all of these things. Now we talk about the definition of destined. You're destined to do great things. Amen. Say that. I'm destined to do great things for God. Woo! Hallelujah! There. You're destined. That's to decree beforehand, to designate, assign, or dedicate in advance, to set apart for a specific purpose or a place. God has set us apart. Amen? It talks about in his word, we, once we receive Christ Jesus, we become set apart from the rest of the world, right? We have become into his kingdom for a divine plan and purpose that he has for us. And the only way that the divine plan and purpose was going to succeed was by first our salvation through that of Jesus Christ that he said he sent. For I, God, so loved you so much that I sent my only begotten son to die for you, to reconcile you back to me. We mean so much to God that he sent away. He sent himself, actually, in that of an incarnate, in that of Jesus in the flesh to come. He loves you so much, he came in flesh to hang on the cross, to suffer for you, to bring you back to him for that purpose that he has for you. And he says, now, you're destined to do great things. How do you hold yourself back from being told that from God? Could you imagine a parent or a family or somebody would tell you that you are destined to do a great thing? Linda, Dawn, Dora, Bonnie, all of us, Karen now. See, that's the problem. When you start naming one, I don't want to cite anybody. So now I got to go, Karen, this is kind of taking our attendance. Dawn, Linda, Dora, Bonnie, Karen, Paul, Ed, welcome Ed again. Denny and Vicky and Janice and Ina and Bridget and Dan and Heather and even Madeline and Aaron, Madeline and Kaylee, kids, the destiny that God has for the children. My wife, Dean, hallelujah. Is Dan with Will back here? Is they? Oh, are they?
Dan, Will, and Aaron are in the back.
But when we look at our people at our church and any church, you know, look at, you just think, when you go by and you see church lots filled with cars and all, just think if they're tuned into the God that we are serving and they're all on that same path and understanding of serving him, just think the predestined things that he has got planned for all those people in that parking lot, all those cars in those parking spaces are filled with one or two or three or four people or whatever. But God has a destined plan for the body of Christ here in Janesville. Here in America, I know people are looking at it like, oh, the church is down, oh, the church in the country in America, it's going down the tubes. No, you can believe that, but that's a lie. We're standing strong. We're going to fulfill our destiny to pray for this nation, to pray for this government, to give them the encouragement to stand, to change their ways when they need to change, to follow Christ in a more moral fiber than what they're doing now, whatever the case might be. Amen. We're not giving up. We're just starting. Yeah. Yeah, the old devil, he's like, oh, wait a minute. These people are starting to get stirred up. These people are starting to come alive with what the plan of God is in their life. These people are beginning to understand that they have a predetermined destiny of doing something great and phenomenal for God. Hallelujah. And the devil's going to say, I'm going to have to try to trip them up even a little bit more now. You better beware, you better be alert, you better be led by the Holy Spirit to protect you and to guide you and to guard you, to be aware of these things, that he's going to try to trip you up. And it says in his word, the old devil, the old lion, seeks whom he may or will be able to kill, steal, and destroy, who he will seek who he may. The only part of fulfilling what he can do is when you give him the go-ahead to do it. When he's attacking you or he's on your doorstep, you stand strong. And you speak to him right face to face and eye to eye. And you tell him to get out. And you don't do it in fear and trembling. You do it with the power of God. Like Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. We have power beyond our own human ability. We have that power in talks about prayer. Prayer is the most powerful weapon that we have. I've shared one time, power of prayer is even mightier than that of an atomic bomb. And anything that man can design or develop and try to create carnage with, we have the power of prayer because we pray to a God that created it all out of nothing into something that has the power and has that manifest presence to be able to do these things. Wow. We are not on the downside. We are on the upside. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Just only, now you know in your own life, when we really turn to God is when we go through a problem. Now, as most of us here, we are all good Christian people and followers of Christ. I know we're always praising and worshiping every day. Now, there's probably a chance and a time that we really come to him when something really begins to come upon us. It's just our nature. We pray a whole lot stronger, you know, when things are really attacking or things are really going awry. And God's there. And God is there for that. But we are trying to get to that point to where day in and day out, the first thing out of our mouths in the morning is praising him, not crying out to him about, oh, help me now. Oh, I need this. Oh, protect me from that. If we praise him and keep that first and foremost, praise and worship him, I think we shared a little bit in Sunday school and Proverbs, but if we just praise him and focus on him, all this other stuff he will take care of. And we've known that, right? We do know that, but it's just the things in life gets a hold of us and we get kind of lost a little bit in it. And that's why we need a fellow brother or sister in Christ to be there with us, to encourage us. That's why we need to come to church, to come to the body of Christ, his body, to be encouraged, to be in corporate unity. Amen. You know, we come together on a day of the week, Sunday, you know, to kind of get your marching orders or to kind of get yourself rebuilt back up. Now, you can get rebuilt back up anywhere. I'm not saying it's just right here, but I am going to tell you that there is a more of an interesting power of corporate unity and corporate power that comes when like faith people get together, that the Lord will just, the power of the Holy Spirit just comes. And you don't even know he just touched you. You don't even know he just powered you with more download or more of his oil upon you. Fill me, Lord. Hallelujah. Every day, day in and day out, until my cup overfloweth. Amen. And you're not going to be able to do that on Tuesday if you don't come to church, but he can fill your cup on Tuesday at home or wherever you're at. We just want to come to at least one or twice a week as a corporate body to come and to gather and to just be in his presence. Amen. So it's good to see you all here. Like I said, I think last week, you are fulfilling your destiny. Being here today, you are fulfilling part of that destiny he has for you. And where does it go from here? I don't know. But I can tell you this, it's all good. It's all good. Say, it's all good.
It's all good.
Oh, I'm glad I've got God's plan. And he's working it in me. Amen. And I'm just so thankful that, you know, we can come together and that we can encourage one another and that we can read his word. And I begin to look these things. And I know when we get together and we talk like on Thursdays and different Bible studies and getting together on Sunday, whatever the case is, I like where Linda, she carries a dictionary now. She always has probably, but I don't know when you started really carrying it because we started getting into these words. It's like, let's look at the definition of this. What does this really mean? And I tell you, once you get to really see the definition of it and just rather than saying, destiny, okay, big deal. Oh, predetermined course of events. We begin to read those things. It's almost like more in us. And then you look at it maybe in the King James or a Bible, a definition for that of biblical definition. Wow. Oh, well, speaking of that, biblical defining of destiny. This is a biblical defining. Now, I shared this last week, but look at your notes. Our destiny is God's purpose for our lives. It is our God-ordained future. Destiny is what God has destined us to become in His divine will and wisdom. Each of us is also destined to play specific roles in the ordering of His world. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 7 is speaking on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So he gets that through us by that of the Holy Spirit working in us. See, that is why, and I share it over and over, and you're going to say, Pastor, you always share it. But I think that's one of the things that is affecting many of our churches of today, and there's good churches out there, but they have, for some reason, for whatever purpose, they've kind of sidelined the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the power and the force and the mightiness of God for us today. And so the devil, well, he loves these churches. You can have a church load of 500 or 5,000 people, but if they're not allowing the Holy Spirit to move and to really fulfill what he has to do and the power that he has, that's just 5,000 people that are only at half power. And the devil's not really concerned about them. Half plugged in to that of what God has. And the power source for God is that of the Holy Spirit. So that's why we have to share and speak so much and keep ourselves focused, not on just the Holy Spirit, but we are a church that focuses on God, on Jesus, on the Holy Spirit. The three in one, for they all are doing and performing things of today. And the thing is, God has created, and he's pretty well done with what he's created and done. Jesus has come, and he's fulfilled what he was to fulfill. Salvation and a focus to get us back reconciled to that of God. Now the Holy Spirit comes to who what? Teach us, lead us, guide us. Woo! So we're not just a Holy Spirit church, we're a church of Trinity. The three of them powered up together. That's why, hallelujah, when you see there's 120 over there, but if you want to power something that's got more power, you need a 220 circuit. You need more plugs. You need more terminals going in. Amen. We can go over there and plug something in there, just two prongs. That could be two prongs of God and Jesus. Could be a prong of Jesus, maybe the Holy Spirit, either one. But then we get to a plug that's got three, like that of a dryer or an electric stove. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. And I don't know, maybe the ground plug is all three. They just keep us grounded. We've got to be grounded to God. Don't get wacky. You know? I hope I can find it when I get back into it. We got to get going. So, I kind of got to that point of passion and whatnot last week, and did we go to Ephesians 1, 11 to 12? Ephesians 1, 11 through 12. Ephesians 1, 11 through 12. In him, I'm going to read it. New King James says, okay, what does God say regarding destiny? And then I got Ephesians 1, 11 through 12. New King James says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. Hallelujah. Being what? Predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. My goodness! Now, I'm going to kick back to Romans. This is a well-known thing that we always use a lot of Romans 8:28. But when we get into this here, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose. This word purpose, I'm going to Romans 8:28. And Romans 8:28, the purpose speaks of, because there in Romans 8:20 it says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to what? His purpose, not your purpose. Purpose here, as we get here, we're looking at Ephesians' purpose and the purpose in Romans' purpose. It comes to this. There's a lot of things here. This word suggests a deliberate plan, a proposition, an advanced plan, an intention, intended plan, a design. Woo! Hallelujah! Okay, it says here, of 12 occurrences in the New Testament, this word is used four times for the Levitical showbread, literally the bread of setting before. Most of the other usages that we find point to God's eternal purposes relating to salvation. Our personal salvation was not only well planned, but demonstrates God's abiding faithfulness as he awaits the consummation of his great plan for his church. And then we have people say, church? We don't need church. That's why you need to tell those people, you know that Jesus died for the church? Not, we are the church, I know, but he died for corporate church. The people, the church, the out there. The force of what he is accomplishing is through church. We are his church. I'm his church. I'm his temple. The Holy Spirit resides in me. Hallelujah. Even in hardships and suffering, even in bitter disappointments, even when wrongly treated, Christians can know that God will work amidst such situations to fulfill his good purpose in his children. This situation may or may not be directly changed by God, but even if situations stay difficult, God guarantees. Anybody here seems like your situation is staying difficult? Yeah, they don't all just go away in the sweet by and by. There's some difficulties we stay, okay? But it says here, even if the situation stay difficult, God guarantees ultimate good results. What the devil meant for bad, God will turn for good. Oh, that's just me thinking. Including maturation, if I'm reading this word, of character to those who are called. Note, the credentials of this verse must be kept in union with the responsible participation in which we enter into the Holy Spirit. By that of the Holy Spirit. By those that are called. We talk about that. We use that kind of a flippant verse. Well, you know, all things are meant for good for those that are, but you're called. We're all called, but have you answered the call? That's the thing. Amen. Hallelujah. So now we've got that point there of predestined according to the purpose, word wealth at Romans 8:28, of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. It's what? His will. People, if you're having a struggle in your life, get out of your will. Get out of what you want. Stop saying, God, this is what I want you to do, and get to the point to say, God, what do you want me to do? Let it be your will. Amen. And if we get ourselves disconnected from what I want to what he wants, your life will begin to change. Amen? You will begin to see, I guarantee you will see changes, because God is not a respecter of persons, and number one, and number two, he is not a liar. He will fulfill what he has predestined for you to fulfill. He has not put you here to have calamity. He's not put you here to have suffering and despise and problems and all of these things. We have that because we live in a fallen world. But if we have Christ as our Christ and the Holy Spirit as our lead and guide and keeping us straight with that of God, we will work through, and he will work through these situations. Even if they're bad, he will take them to turn out to be good. Amen? But you got to go through bad to get to good. I want a testimony. Well, then guess what? The first part of that word is T-E-S-T, test. We have a lot of people go, I just want to be a testimony for God. Okay. But we all have a testimony. I can see everyone in this room. You've been through a test. You're going through a test. Or a test is coming your way. That's called life. I've said many times, life is miserable. Life is hard. I mean, life is good. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying that there are some bad times and things that come around. But that is where we find our strength is the strongest, is when we go through those things. That's when I believe God puts some of those things and doesn't put them on us, but he allows them, like Job. He allows those things. But it's only, I think, when those things and you're going through a test, you take an inventory of where you're at with him. And what are you thinking, and what are you saying, or what are you not saying or doing? But is it chasing you away from God, or is it making you stronger with God? And that's where you begin to think like, wow, I went through this. I thought I was a little bit stronger in faith than what it turned out. I need to exercise more faith in my muscles, my speech, my thoughts. I need to read his word a little bit deeper, a little more. I got to stay a little bit more connected to his word to get me through these things, because when you are in his word and those things come, that's how fast it is that all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will bring a scripture to you. May not be by the King James Version, may not be by the New King or whatever. It might be a paraphrase, but you've read. But the Holy Spirit will bring a scripture to you that will probably identify that problem you're in and give you the answer to get out of it. Or to confess that greater is he that is in me. I don't care if it's just a few simple scriptures. Let me tell you, you may not need to memorize, 50 scriptures. If you can remember 5 or 6 that are powerful scriptures, guess what? They're powerful scriptures. Things are going on. Things are going on around me. Greater is he that is in me than he is in this world. Things I see in the world are taking place. Greater is he that is in me. Hallelujah. And I will stomp on it. I will walk through it. I will crush it. I will do whatever it is. But it won't be me. It'll be God in me by his strength, because he tells us, and you need to confess it, I'm weak. Because when you say I'm weak, he says, where you're weak, I am strong. We begin to turn our life over to him, and we begin to walk that predestined, that direction that he has for us, and he leads us and guides us along. And how thankful, we've talked with some here recently about, we get sidetracked in life. Life is full of sidetracks. Who here has not been sidetracked in life? We've all been sidetracked. We've all stepped away from the glory. We've all stepped away even though we've known. But here's the thing, if you stepped away and you come back, you've got the victory. And God says, that's the thing, I want my people to know you can step away and you don't have to stay away. And he wants you to know, even though you've stepped away, I've been there watching you and I've been waiting for you to return back to me. How is that? I have made a way where there seems to be no way. And he'll let you go as deep as you want to go, friends. Sin will take you further than you want to go. Sin will cost you more than you want to pay. Sin will keep you down as long as you want to go. If you allow sin to direct and dictate your life, it'll take you. It'll take you. But there is no crevice too deep that God can't reach into. And his long extended hand. Talk about, Paul, the long arm of the law. Well, the long arm of God. Into the deepest pit that you could ever place yourself in, or ever that the enemy, the devil, could ever put you into a pit, that the Lord God, God Almighty, can't reach down and pull you up from the muck and the mire and the darkness back up into his light. Those that are down, they keep themselves down. For God has made a way. But it takes us maybe sometimes helping a friend that's down. To encourage, to pray, to be a sounding board, to get them back into some things of, hey, think about this, think about this, think about this. It's not to coerce them, it's not to browbeat them, it's not to whatever. It's just to be a friend. Because, as that song with that of Jesus, what a friend I have in Jesus. All my griefs and sorrows to bear. Of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Okay, then this word praise, I'm going to go to Ephesians. Well, it's right there. Ephesians 1:6. We're right there, kind of. Okay, this is why it worked. Ephesians 1:6. Christ should be, okay, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. This word praise. Let's see. Commendation, appropriation, approval, praise. This expresses not only praise for what God does for us, but also for who he is. We are recognizing his glory. Don't you like it when somebody recognizes you for who you are or what you're about or what you've done or what you're able to do? That's just the flesh of the stuff. But, we like that. We like, recognizing. I like to recognize in this room so-and-so for the accomplishments, blah, blah, blah. And we're going, it was God, all these things. But this is what we're doing. We praise. And it says here that, and we're going to speak to, where I'm talking about to the praise of the glory of God. Now we're back in Ephesians chapter 1. And this is the redemption in Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. Just as he chose us in him, where? Before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Verse 5, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. His will. I didn't look that up. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. And then, here's the thing, I went and did sometime a word on this. But when you go to 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, here's the thing that gets me. Verse 7, in him, what do we have? Redemption. Verse 11, in him, we've also obtained an inheritance. In him, verse 13, you've also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Hallelujah. So anyway, in him, everybody say, in him. Amen. Woo, that's it. It's in him. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So, we love you, Lord. The Webster definition of predestined, did we talk about this? This is Ephesians 1:11-12. We've talked about this. Okay, Ephesians 1:11-12. We just took a side trail there. In him, we also obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. We find this God's purpose, and that predestined is to destine, to decree, to determine, to appoint, or to settle beforehand. I am so glad my life has been settled before I even got here. I just need to walk it out, amen. Well, how are you going to find out about it? I'm going to stay connected to God. I'm going to be led by the Spirit. I'm going to follow him. Where I'm at, Lord, lead him, guide me, you know, through your word, through your scriptures, through maybe a prophecy, somebody sharing a word, somebody saying, hey, the word of the Lord says this, or the Lord spoke to me the other day, Pastor or Tim, and he showed me you and this, and he said this. Does this make sense? And if it's that of God and God's working on that particular person, it'll probably say, yeah, it sure does. But that's how he kind of gets that direction and focus to us. In this area of Ephesians 1:11-12, God's purpose is to offer salvation to the world, just as he planned to do from the very beginning. God is sovereign. He is in charge. If your life is in a chaotic time, we can rest in his truth. Jesus is Lord, and God is still in control. We need to know that God's plan to save us cannot be hindered, no matter what Satan attempts to do to us. Now, we can kind of get into a lot of things about that, but the only thing that will keep you from that of the salvation of the Lord, or from God, is not Satan, but you. You can keep yourself if you're bullheaded and strong-willed where you don't want it. Well, he's not going to force you to have it. But it's freely given to all who freely accept it and willing. You know, are we willing? His will is. That's why people say, well, we'll all be in heaven because it says that God loves the world and he desires that none should perish. And go to hell. It's none should perish. That's what I mean. When you perish, you're going to hell. And it's like, yeah, that's right. He says, I wish none would perish. God's whole heart desire is that none would, but he knows some will because it's a free will choice of what are you going to choose this day? God's word we'd shared one time back. We've said it over and over, and you got to keep this in front and center. Then when people say these things, you've got to sit there and say, well, the word of God also says that there you've got to either choose him or choose the devil. And if you're saying, well, I'm going to wait on that, what you're doing is, when you don't choose God right away, you've already chosen the devil. He says, you will choose one of these today. You either choose me, and by a default, anybody here talk about, you know, we hear a default, if you don't take this, your answer defaults to this. That's what your answer defaults to. If you don't receive Christ, or you don't speak of the God, and you're serving God, then guess who you're serving? You're serving the devil. And so I want to get through this life by saying, I am serving God. I do not want to serve the devil. So I believe there's a God. I believe there's a devil. I believe everything is there's a predestined. There's a lot of things happening. He's ordained a lot of things. It's all in God's hands. We, a few weeks back, spoke on Chronos and Kairos, time, you know, certain times, and how that all figures in. and the anniversary of the church of 40 years and how, you know, what took place in that 40-year time was Kronos. You know, there's a time frame, but specific times within a time is Kairos. A very specific thing happens here, here, here. A very specific thing happens and has happened in your life. Those things of what God has predetermined, has planned for doing, and when it comes about, those are things that you can go, wow, that was a powerful time. Wow, something happened during that time frame. May have been a day, an hour, could have been 6 months. That's that Kairos. That was that specific time in your life that God was doing something, or you were doing something with that of God. So we are going to choose, and you're either going to serve him or you're not. In the Amplified here, and we're almost in the Amplified for Ephesians 1, 11 through 12, it says this: in him also we have received an inheritance, a destiny, or I would put our destiny. We were claimed by God as his own. This is in brackets, okay? In him also we have received an inheritance, now in brackets, a destiny. We were claimed by God as his own, having been predestined, or chosen, appointed beforehand, according to the purpose of him who works everything in agreement with the counsel and the design of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ, these words here, hope in Christ, who first put our confidence in him as our Lord and Savior, would exist to the praise of his glory. We're going to praise him and give him the glory. We're going to honor him for who he is. We're praising him. Hallelujah. Note this. Before we were even born, God gave us our destiny, that we would fulfill the plan of God who accomplishes every purpose and plan in his heart. Ephesians 3:11 speaks of this. This agrees with the purpose. Well, I've already 3:11. Ephesians 3:11. New King James says this: according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. We find that the eternal purpose is the same as in 1, 9, and 11. We just talked about that, Ephesians 1, 9, and 11, okay, where that purpose and predestined things there. The eternal purpose is the same as we would find in Ephesians 1, 9, and 11. The text soars as Paul cites God's intent to display the church, before all evil powers. Here it is: display the church before all evil powers as his instrument to dispense throughout the earth what he has already accomplished in Christ Jesus. And that would be through that of the resurrection, the death, and the ascension, and all that of Christ Jesus. So the footnote of that, as we look at this, the eternal purpose. And that's where I'm saying that God's intended to display the church before all evil powers as his instrument to dispense throughout the earth, the church. Now, we are the church, but I also believe the structures as we, corporate bodies, the sheep sheds, somebody would call sometimes, we gather together the church. The church in a society where the church is missing, the society is in total darkness. Remember, I've shared many times, America, as many times as they despise the Christian and they talk negatively about the Christian, it's like they better be thankful there's Christians here, because this nation is being blessed because of the Christians praying for this nation. You know, if they shut down and pack away all the Christians and close all the churches, you talk about a bad time coming. That would come. So that's why a nation needs the church. But of course, the devil wants to destroy that, and you know, we can get into all kinds of thought processes. But the church is here. God's plan is for the church to shine out his light and to show within a nation, within a country, around this world. I love that when I read that, to his instrument, the church, instrument to dispense throughout the earth what he has already accomplished in that of Christ Jesus. And then I'm going to wrap this up with this. And this just came this morning. I was looking at this, and the passion in Ephesians 1, 5 through 6. Okay, so this kind of stayed in Ephesians, but now I'm going back to the first chapter of Ephesians 5 through 6. Now remember, in your Bible, my New King James in 5 and 6, Ephesians 1, 5 and 6, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Now, here's the passion of that. The Passion Translation. For it was always in his perfect plan to adopt us as his delightful children through our union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that this tremendous love that cascades over us would glorify his grace. For the same love that he has for the beloved Jesus, he has for us. Wow. Jesus, Lamb of God. And this unfolding plan brings him great pleasure. This unfolding, see, his plans, it's unfolding, guys. We're a part to see this unfolding. As we are studying his word on Thursdays, as we are studying and hearing his word on Sundays, as we are in our own private time reading his word and seeing what's going on and having it in our life, you know, his plan is unfolding. Isn't that great to see it? Woo, hallelujah. Now we might look and say, oh, some of it's not going to be so good, but I'm going to say it's going to be good, or not, some of it's not so good. I see a lot of bad, but I'm going to focus on the good. The good, the good, the good. Now, I'm going to expand this with that Passion Translation. And it says this, for it was always in his perfect plan, this word plan, or he marked out our horizon. Nothing like a beautiful sunrise on the horizon or a sunset on the horizon. Amen. Have you ever seen some beautiful ones the last few days, weeks? Beautiful. Or he marked out our horizon. That horizon also, in brackets, is destiny. Beforehand. So his perfect plan, or he has marked out our horizon, our destiny beforehand, to adopt. This Arabic reads this, to establish us. So it was always his perfect plan. He marked out our horizon, our destiny beforehand, to adopt, to establish us as his delightful children through the union with Jesus, the Anointed One, so that this tremendous love cascades over us, would glorify his grace. You feel his love cascading over you? It's nothing like it. When you really feel his love, the warmth, I think sometimes just, you know, have you ever, maybe even in the last winter towards the spring, but it was still cold outside. I remember going outside one time and sitting in the back, and it was cold, but the sun was out. And as I just sat in the sun and sat there, you know, with a jacket on and hat and gloves, I had my gloves, hat on, but eventually I felt the warmth on my face, even when it was cold. That I sensed that as like his love cascading over us. And it just permeates. It's just there. And so you will find that, you know, you get in your car and you're waiting for kids at school or something, or you're waiting for somebody to come out from the store, and it's a cool day out and it's warm sun coming through the windows of the car. How many here doze off? Come on, be honest. It happens to me a lot. It's just all of a sudden the warmth, I'm just sitting, the warmth coming through, and it's just like, oh, I read that, like his warmth cascading over us. What a love he has for us. And that it's always there. And if you misstepped and you missed it and now you're back, praise God. And if you have a hiccup this week, just, he's there, amen. He loves us so much and it's predestined. And I want to encourage us today that we fulfill the destiny that he has. I want nothing more. And I don't know, if your destiny was to take you from this church to someplace else, praise God. Praise God. This isn't the church that ends alls and bees all. This is the stopping off point. This is a place for people to come through. If we would go back through the history of the 40 years, the number of people that have come through here and gone and come and gone and come and gone, you know, it's not for me to wonder. It's not for me to go, I want them to stay. Even when my one son was really involved in music and sound and computer and all that, they needed to find a church that would really minister to their children. I suggested where to go. I gave him two churches. Knowing those pastors and what their programs are, pick one of those. I think it'll fulfill what you're looking for. Then afterwards, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, He did our music. He did praise. He was guitar. He drum. He did this. He was sound. Oh, blah, blah. He was a go-to person for me. But then it's hit me. Even my own son. You have to release them. We do that in the natural. We do that when they grow up, hopefully. And they get to a whatever age it is. And you go, okay, the door's there. There's a lot of opportunity out there for you. Let me help you. But we raise them up as children for them to take their life and to go. Well, the church is the same way. And so when the Lord and I said, I had a little bit of a conversation with God about that. On the outside, I was like, oh, yeah, it's okay. You can go. Oh, 3 days later, I'm out here in the, oh, Lord, why? Lord, I don't know. Why? I don't, this is not fair. Anybody get into those things with God? That's not fair, Lord. Oh, I don't, whatever the case is. So then what do? You sit. And I was probably sitting in one of these chairs. I just sat. And I shut up. Shut up my blubbering. Oh, Lord. Got quiet. Thank God, my God and His Spirit spoke to me and said, you know, Tim, He's really mine. Yes, He is. He is yours, Lord. And after that, it was good. It was good. I was fine. But that's where sometimes when you're going through the time, just get still with God. And you know what, folks? He will speak to you in a loving way. And He will remind you of what He's about. He will remind you what He's done for you. He will remind you of something of His Word. He will do something. I have not been a saint, but I'm going to tell you, I have never heard God scold me. Now, I don't know if I've just, some people might have, I don't know. But I have always, when I've had a rough time or a sensitivity of something, and maybe I've not done what I should or whatever the case is, if I just get quiet before my God, I just hear a sweet voice. And He just speaks to us. And Tim, didn't I? Tim, He's mine. Tim, this is what I'm doing. Tim. And I go, okay, that's right. That's true, God. And then we go, I love you. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, Father God. That's what it's about. So we have our times in communication with Him, but then, as we have those times, I believe it helps us to fulfill the destiny that God has for us. So in closing, I would like to repeat this. I found this in a thing somewhere, but it's a prayer. Well, it's a prayer out of Ephesians 2:10. I can't remember where I was at. And it just goes like this. And we'll say it as a corporate body in just a minute. But it says, God, we thank you for creating us, for making us your workmanship. Help us daily dwell on this truth and allow it to shape our identity. Help us to believe every day the truth of whom you've made us to be. Your handiwork. Pretty cool prayer. So I'm going to just lead it out and just follow along with me. And this is coming out of Ephesians, out of 2:10. God, we thank you for creating us. We could even say, we thank you for creating me. Amen. Ooh. For making us your workmanship. Help us to daily dwell on this truth and allow it to shape our identity. Help us to believe every day the truth of whom you made us to be. Your very handiwork. Amen. He loves you. Oh, He loves you. He loves us. Oh, Father, I just encourage you to get some close time with Him. Amen. And if you can't, just find some time. I don't care. Shut out something. Turn off something. Get away from something. Get in your car. Come out and sit on the back of this lot. I don't care. Just, I've always told people, if you want to come and get away from the city and a lot of distractions, come out here, and I've done that a few times. I sit in the back lot, even in my car. I'll just come out, circle, and park, and just sit there. Thank you, Lord. To you, Lord, I love you. And I thank you, Father, for this opportunity to share your word. And I pray, Lord, that it has ministered greatly into the people's lives. Father, nothing that I have to say or my knowledge or understanding is anything, Lord, compared to what your simple words give us instruction and encouragement. Your words show us your love for us. Your love, as it said, cascading over us, Lord. And I pray for that for each and everyone here today, that they would sense that either today or in the days coming in the near future, that, Lord, your love is just cascading over them. Let them feel your warmth. Let them feel your embrace. Let them know, Lord, that you love them. Father, I thank you for each one here, the destiny and the plan that they have, that you have planned for them, that, Lord, we sit here and we stand here as your workmanship. And, Lord, as we shared last week, that of like an artist, that, Lord, you're sculpting us and you're just knocking off those chips of that granite block that don't belong because, Lord, you see something in us and you're going to chisel those other things away from us to bring us to what you have for us. We love you, Lord. Oh, we love you. Couldn't do it without you. Bless each one here, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.